Hello everyone and welcome to this webinar. I'm Frances Seeley from Enfield Climate Action Forum, and NCAF, if we're called, we're doing a project. We're doing a project called Health Climate Action, and it's about the impact of climate change on public health. And lots of health authorities are really concerned about that. Many of them have green policies they're developing, and many have sustainability groups within their organisation that are developing. And we have Katie Knight with us today, who's from the North London Midland Trust. Sorry, not Midland, the North Mid Trust, the Hospital NHS Trust. And she is passionate about climate change, and she also is involved in developing the sustainability group in that trust. So Katie, thanks for joining us today, and it's great to have you here. Can I first ask you, so people get to know a bit about you, if you could briefly tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. Thanks for having me, Frances. My name is Katie Knight. I am a doctor at North Middlesex Hospital, and my specialty is paediatric emergency medicine. So I work with children, and I'm also on the North Middlesex Hospital Sustainability Forum. So this was a group that was started up just over 2 years ago now, trying to push the trust in a more sustainable direction, and trying to make some better environmental decisions where it comes to climate and sustainability, which we'll get onto a little bit more in the future in this interview. I am absolutely passionate about driving the NHS in a more sustainable direction. I think the realisation for me that spurred me on to doing this kind of work was in about 2018, when I realised how big the impact the NHS actually had on the environment. And actually how much the environment impacts human health. So really the fact that the NHS is contributing to climate change is a really big deal when it comes to the health and the lives of the people that we're trying to improve.
So, I mean, were you passionate about climate change before you became a doctor and before you were in the health service? Or did that develop because of what you saw in the health service?
Yeah, I suppose so. I think in terms of my personal life, I've, for many years, I've kind of been doing things because I know they're beneficial for the environment. So I mostly eat vegetarian food. I don't fly places unnecessarily. I try and cut down plastic use, those type of things that we all do. But it was kind of a big realization when I put the two and two together, and actually there's lots of things in my personal life that I'm doing, but there's lots of things when I go to work that I know the NHS could be better at in terms of caring for the environment.
So you share the view, obviously, do you, of the World Health Organization, that the climate emergency is also a health emergency?
I think it's primarily a health emergency. Yeah, so in my view, the climate crisis is primarily a public health crisis. And this is the way that we need to be thinking about it, rather than some abstract thing that may be coming down the road in the future. It's something that's affecting human lives and human health right now.
And what particular issues do you think the climate change will impact on public health? What are the issues that, you see in the hospital, for example?
Yeah, so the issues are many and wide ranging. So things like heart attacks and strokes are going to get more common with a heated planet. Also, we have things like respiratory illnesses. So asthma is obviously worsened by air pollution, as is COPD. Then we have things like infectious diseases. So if temperatures increase, then actually we'll see a spread of diseases which aren't native to our country coming up in the UK. Climate change will affect food security and water security, and then even things like pandemics are more likely to happen in relation to heated planet, and we all seen the impacts of the latest pandemic.
Okay, I had you down as a consultant gynecologist, but you're in paediatrics, aren't you?
Yeah.
I always get one thing wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, being in that particular discipline, has that influenced you in the way you see the problem?
This has been a huge influence on me. So the World Health Organization actually predicts that 85% of the impact of climate change is on children, or will be on children in the future. And as a paediatrician, our role is not only to treat diseases in children, but also to help prevent children getting unwell in the first place. And with the changing climate, this is going to be really, really challenging for us unless we start to do something about it now. The other thing that really gets me going is the fact that this is so unfair. It's complete injustice to children, this world that they're living in, that they've done nothing to cause these problems, and yet all the impacts or the majority of the impacts are going to be on them and the world that they're growing up in. So I think us as the adults now, we need to be doing something.
Yeah, I mean, when I spoke to you before, you said people in paediatrics, consultants and other medical staff are really passionate about climate change because they see the impact it has on children. But you also said that that's not true of every area of the health service. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Well, I think paediatricians have really come leaps and bounds in the past few years. So the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health, of which I'm a member, obviously, declared a climate emergency a couple of years ago, and since then has set up several working groups and is really starting to drive the issues and address not only our own practice within paediatrics, but to sort of challenge the practice of the wider NHS. And I think for the members of our college, it's been an easy thing for them to get their heads around because they want to advocate for the future of children. I wouldn't say that the rest of the NHS is not concerned or that other specialties aren't concerned. It may just be that there are a few steps behind, but there are great things going on in little pockets. You know, there's communities forming around greener GP practice. There's recently a team that's done the first carbon neutral surgical operation. It was a huge part of carbon, a huge part of the NHS carbon footprint that would come from surgical procedures and things like that. So there's good things happening everywhere, and it's just about connecting the dots and making other specialties and other areas see what's possible.
Okay, so you know, your passion has led you to be part of the sustainability group in the North Mid Hospitals Trust. People will wonder what that is and what it does. Can you tell us what it does, what it's all about?
So the Sustainability Forum is basically a group of very passionate individuals who came together a couple of years ago to really look at what we're doing in terms of our impact on the environment as a health service. Also how we can mitigate for the challenges which are going to come with climate change. So we have started by having a very wide ranging view on what's going on within the trust and then formulating a green plan. So all hospitals are now required to have a green plan, but we're a little bit ahead of the curve. So we've got ours in and we're starting to make some progress on various things within the trust that will bring down our carbon footprint.
I mean, we've been a part in our project is in the green plan that the CCG has developed. So the CCG has a green plan, does it? And every hospital also has a green plan, is that right? And do they gel together?
So every hospital obviously has its own individual challenges. So it really helps for each hospital to have a specific targets that they're going towards. And yes, it is. That's part of the NHS framework now is that every hospital must have a green plan.
And so your job in a way, or one of your jobs, is to make sure people in your hospital are aware of that green plan and to try and bring everyone as far as you can on board. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as much as it's about raising awareness of the issues of climate change with the staff, it's also about sort of putting an appropriate amount of pressure on the board and the executive of the hospital to say, actually, this is something that's desperately important for us to address. And, you know, what are you going to do to support the hospital to become a bit more sustainable?
And are you taken, you know, seriously by the management and by the hospital generally? Or do they just think of you as a sort of silo there thinking about this? Or do they sort of have a dialogue with you and try to make a difference?
Yeah, no, I've been very, very impressed with how receptive the executive have been. So we have representatives from the executive who joined the Sustainability Forum. Our new chief exec has also been very encouraging of our efforts so far. So it's a really positive place to be. We can always be doing more. We can always be doing a bit better, but it's definitely working with them rather than against them.
Well, we've done some webinars with some of your senior management, and they are, I know, very concerned and very passionate about active travel and all sorts of things around developing the Green Health Service. But one of your concerns is that, isn't it, is to create a Green Health Service within the Trust, to make sure you do things within the Trust in a more sustainable fashion.
Yeah, so it's not so much about creating a Green Health Service within the Trust, it's about making everybody realise that everything that we do in the NHS can contribute positively towards reducing carbon footprint. And that comes with added benefits, because a lot of those things actually are about keeping people healthier, making their lives healthier, and helping them stay out of hospital, because that's ultimately the best way of reducing the carbon footprint of a health service, is to have healthier people who don't need so much medical care.
So does that mean, for example, looking at implementing combined heat projects and power systems, prioritising local procurement, and through community links, promoting active or green travel? Are those the sort of things that you would be sort of concentrating on?
Yeah, so active travel is a big thing, which there are several projects going on at the moment, including cycle hire schemes and support to cycle to work. So staff active travel is a big one. Actually stopping unnecessary travel to site is also a way to reduce carbon footprint. So there's going to be more flexible working going forwards, hopefully, within corporate and office-based staff at the hospital. Because obviously if they work from home and they don't have to commute to hospital, that will not only free up some space in the car park, which is all very crowded, but improve the air quality around the hospital, reduce emissions associated with travel. Then other things that exciting things that we have been involved in are the push towards replacing all the lights in hospital with LEDs, and that brings down the carbon footprint hugely. And another thing has been, people might not be aware that a lot of anaesthetic gases that are used, so the gases that are used to put people to sleep for an operation, for example, they are actually greenhouse gases, many of them. And we have been able to reduce the most harmful one. We've hardly used any of it at all in 2022. And that's been as a result of direct action from the Sustainability Forum.
You mentioned your car park, which I know is always an issue. So would you get in campaigns, for example, to get better public transport to come to the hospital?
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely something that's in the future sights of the group.
So you do that. So do you also get involved with local communities and work outside the hospital with those communities? And how do you reach out to them if you do?
Yeah, so we have, I think our partnership with NCAF is a really important one, because this gives us really good links into the community. The other partnership that we have is with Edible London, who are a group which has come to our site to sort of help us address how we might be able to green more of the site, to use more of the site for growing trees or growing food, in fact, that might actually in the future be used on site. So partnerships like that are really, really key, I think, to be able to do something better and more community focused. And I'd also encourage other groups to get in touch with us, because we're very much, as I say, we've only been going for about 2 years. So really we need to build those links with the community even further.
Yeah, I mean, we know from evidence across the globe that the people who suffer most from climate change are those that are most deprived in marginalised communities.
Yeah.
And one of the problems you have, and we all have, even those of us who work in the communities, is reaching out to those. And it's the sort of journey we're all on now, aren't we, to try and see how we can work with those communities to improve their health and to get them on board and to do things for themselves, to build what you might call community resilience.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think North Middlesex Hospital, sitting in some of the most deprived boroughs of the UK, it makes it really urgent for us to do all we can to mitigate the effects of climate change. I mean, just the effects of the recent heat wave, and this is a really stark example of how climate change will affect us all, but it will affect us all in different ways and unequal ways. So if you can imagine somebody who's sitting in a massive house with air conditioning, probably rode out the heat wave pretty well, but somebody who might be living in poor quality or overcrowded council housing in 40 degree heat would have been absolutely intolerable. So those kind of inequalities are things that are going to get more and more obvious the more climate change related effects that we see.
And I guess we all have to work on that. We'll fail sometimes and we'll succeed other times, but we have to really try and reach those communities. The other thing is, I mean, when I've been talking in webinars with teachers, some of those involved in climate change say, look, you can't have a climate change teacher. It's got to be embedded in every subject. Now, is that something you also look at in the health service? You can't have just someone who's an officer for climate change. You've got to embed it in every area of the health service. Is that part of the Green Plan?
Yeah. So part of it is about education as well. And we're in the slightly strange situation at the moment where actually some of the younger doctors coming up through the system might be more educated on climate change related issues than some of the more senior doctors. So there's this kind of imbalance at the moment of people with the power might not necessarily have the knowledge or the understanding of all the issues. So it's really, in that way, it's about creating a network of people who can help and assist and move things forward. We're seeing a lot in medical education and in medical schools, climate change being integrated into the curriculum. So actually, there's going to be a surge of doctors coming through who really do understand the issues more and are more able to push things forward in their specialty.
I mean, you talk very eloquently about, you know, that passion about climate change, and the volume seems to have gone up in health service as it has elsewhere. Why do you think that's happened? What is the change that's made, you know, your voice so important?
I think, to be honest, it's the fact that we can now see. I mean, people have known for decades that this was all coming, but even, you know, 5-10 years ago, it was easy to say, oh, this is a problem that's coming down the line. Yes, we should do something about it, but it's not that urgent. And now everybody can see. We had the heat waves, the wildfires in London a matter of 2 weeks ago. This was the first visceral experience that many people will have had of the effects of climate change, which is here now. It's affecting us all. The wildfires in America, the droughts in South Africa, the extreme heats in India and Pakistan, flooding multiple places all over the world. Like, all of these things are accepted to be because of man-made climate change. And I think it's now that it's on our doorstep that people are scared and are turning that fear into action.
I mean, some medics now are getting quite militant, aren't they? Next week, I'll be talking to some of the medics who got arrested outside or broke the windows outside of JP Morgan and they got arrested. I mean, you would never have imagined medics doing that a few years ago, but they feel so strongly now. I mean, do you think that change needs to have that sort of protest, or can it happen just with dialogue within an organization?
I think it needs to be a bit of both. I think that actions like that really generate publicity around a cause and get people talking about, you know, oh, what would you do? What are your limits? Where would you go to be able to stop this from happening? And it needs to be, it actually needs to happen in every part of society. And for some people, will be comfortable taking civil disobedience. Some people will be comfortable challenging their organisations in a formal way. But it's a combination of all of those things that's going to shift society forwards to be able to take on these issues, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see more doctors getting involved in civil disobedience. I mean, the medical community does have a history of taking on injustices and fighting on public health issues. I mean, the most recent obvious one would be taking on smoking. So it was, you know, obviously a very acceptable thing that everybody smoked back in the 60s. And then the medical establishment said, hang on, this is harming people's lives. This is harming health. We need to stop this. We need to fight against the vested interests that are telling us that it's okay and telling us to throw our money away on cigarettes. And largely because of medical activism, it became unacceptable and socially less acceptable to smoke, and smoking related deaths subsequently reduced. And I think our generation of medics climate change is going to be our issue of public health that we need to challenge.
Yeah, and I guess it's the younger medics who feel that way because they see their future as being compromised. They see the future of patients, especially in your discipline, compromised. And, you know, the fear of, you know, new books come out called Hot House Earth and talk about, you know, moving towards extinction if we're not careful and we have to adapt to that. And I guess, you know, you, I mean, medics who are younger understand that very acutely. But when you aren't doing civil disobedience and you get involved in dialogue within your organisation, how do you go about getting that dialogue and how important is it to have the support of senior management?
It's absolutely essential to have support of senior management because ultimately they're the ones who have the power within the organisation and actually they're the ones who are in charge of the money, and money is often the conversation where the conversation needs to be, because some of these things that we want to change do need investment, and the investment may come back in years or maybe decades time. So it's about finding a way in and finding where somebody's interests lie as well. So sometimes it's not about getting people on board by saying, we need to do this because of climate change, but actually the things that we need to do because of climate change have a lot of co-benefits. So a lot of them will make people healthier. So if that's something that people can get on board with, then that might be something you approach somebody with power and say, I've got an idea, this is going to improve the health of people with this condition. Or if money might be their operator, it's about, I've got an idea, this is going to save money and also it's going to help the climate. So it's about finding those inroads and bringing people along for the journey. But yes, it has to be done as a team effort.
I mean, I think you're lucky in the sense you have a senior management who are very keen and will get engaged in that dialogue. But there must be some trusts around the country that are a lot more conservative in that way. And it must be very difficult for them.
It must be. And I think a lot of it, I mean, the NHS always has financial difficulties. So this will be the last thing on somebody's list in a lot of places. But I think that it kind of ends up in a bit of a peer pressure effect. So the more hospitals have sustainability forums, the more hospitals declare a climate emergency, the more those outliers without a green plan and without a sustainability forum look a bit dated. So it's sort of about getting the groundswell of support until those places which are lagging behind need to catch up.
Okay, so, I mean, you've got the sustainability group going and you're passionate yourself and you want to get involved in the community and that's really great. But, you know, what would be for you the successful outcomes of the sustainability group in, say, the next year or so?
I'd like to see, I mean, we need our data, first of all. So it's notoriously difficult to get a carbon footprint and the proper data around that. So we're working with our estates team to actually nail down where are our main sources of carbon emissions. So within the next year or so, I would love to see a very detailed carbon footprint for the organisation as a whole. So then we can kind of go into it in detail and find out actually where we can best direct our efforts. I'd also like to see a greater membership of the Sustainability Forum, because I think that it's such a big problem that there's many, many, many different individual projects that could... we need basically somebody from each area who's passionate about these issues to drive it forwards.
So, you know, you want to do all of that. I mean, the emissions one's quite interesting because lots of organisations declare a climate emergency, say they want to stop emissions, but they don't really work out a way to measure those emissions. It becomes a pious hope rather than something based on evidence. And what you're saying in your group, what you want is the real evidence. You want to find a valid and reliable way to measure emissions.
Yeah. And you also mentioned the other thing that obviously I want my organisation to do, which is to actually declare a climate emergency. So North Middlesex haven't so far. I'm hoping that they will. And I think that once we have carbon footprint data, then it'll be easier to do that, because we'll be able to say these are the things that we need to target and this is where we're going with it.
Well, Well, I mean, you're on the journey to get there, and you're doing a lot of work, and you have a lot of support. So I'm sure you will get there, and you will get there with all the sort of evidential material you need, which is really, really important. I mean, we come to the end of the 30 minutes now. So if anybody wanted to find more about the Sustainability Group and the work you do, where would they go? How would they find that out?
So we have a Twitter account. Our Twitter handle is NM_environment. So feel free to tweet us on there. I would like to encourage anybody who's listening to this webinar to attend any public board meetings that North Middlesex has. The public are allowed to attend the public portion of board meetings, and raising questions there with the exec as to what are you doing about climate change would be a really good way to show how much support there is out there from patients in the community for the hospital to do something. I will also separately share my email address with you, Francis, so that people can contact me directly if needed.
Okay, well, thank you. And I mean, we'll publicise the board meetings to people so they know and that they can attend. Well, I mean, thank you for that, because that was really interesting. And it's interesting not just because of all the things you said, but the attitude that goes behind what you say, you know, that the health service, as in the past, are not an ivory tower like academics hidden behind a sort of wall, but you're out with the community now, you're talking to them, you're much more into that sort of preventative as well as engaging atmosphere. And, you know, I'm really pleased that you want to do that and that you want to link your sustainability group with community groups, because I think for all of us, that's the way to go. So, you know, thank you very much for talking about that. Thank you for joining us, because I think it's been enlightening. And I think, you know, there's a lot of work we can do together in the future. So that's great. So thanks.
I really hope so.
Well, I
thank you very much.
Well, I'm sure it will happen. So thank you. And we'll end this interview now.
Thanks so much, Francis.